BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from NFL playoffs to pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. That's BLEAV, BELIEVE, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Welcome to Believe in Celtics, brought to you by Bet Online. I am Warren Shaw. He is the great Gary Washburn, and we're your host and resource for everything Boston Celtics this season. Gary, the trade deadline has come and gone. How are you feeling? Sigh of relief. What's good with you, family?
Great. A lot of surprises, but the Celtics-centric situation, I'm not, you know, they made a kind of we would consider a minor move. It could be a sneaky good move, but they got a little bit more depth. I thought that was what they needed. And they didn't give up a whole bunch for it. So I thought around the league, a lot of bombs were dropped, a lot of guys. I mean, the Lakers almost changed their whole roster. And obviously what Phoenix did and Brooklyn and Dallas and all these moves that we've talked about, you know, a few that we talked about last week, you know, Kyrie going to Dallas Mavericks. But just a pretty eventful day. You know, usually it's not this eventful, but today – there was a lot going on, a lot of fireworks around the league. A lot of teams just, you know, just making moves, you know, Russell Westbrook gone, Pat Bev gone, D'Angelo Russell. A lot of guys that we know, household names, are now, you know, going to be looking for work or with new teams.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it does open up some things that are Celtics specific, you know, in terms of the impact of some of those moves. I, for one, like many, was fast asleep when Kevin Durant got moved in the wee hours, if you will. And usually I'm up pretty late. So just kind of like literally maybe 10 minutes or so, I went to bed before that went down. But again, we'll get into that here all kind of coming up here in the next segment. So as always, make sure you're following him on Twitter at G Washburn Globe. You can follow me on Twitter at Shaw Sports NBA. Make sure you follow him, Believe, and at all of their outlets as well, to Believe Network or I Believe Sports. So before we get into the overall trade conversation, let's talk a little bit at home. As we record, Celtics 2-0 in the week. So coming into this, we're saying, hey, how are they going to go with this four-game week? Big win against the Philadelphia 76ers while being shorthanded. Unfortunately, Jaylen Brown takes an elbow to the cheek, has a facial fracture. Gary, your thoughts or what can you provide Celtics fan on the status of Jaylen Brown? I'm already saying he's probably going to be out at least through All-Star game, so unfortunate for him. But how much time are we looking here for Jaylen Brown?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a couple of weeks. It all depends on the extent of the fracture. I think we'll find that out a little bit more tomorrow when we meet with Celtics brass. But, you know, obviously got to let the swelling go down. It all depends, you know, on that. And then, you know, you got to get him, you know, when the swelling goes down, get him fitted for one of those, you know, Richard Hamilton, Batman masks. But I just think the Celtics being safe, it's a situation where it's like, why try to rush him back? Let him just get over. I'm sure he's just more, I mean, obviously he's sore and he's hurting, but just and probably having trouble sleeping, you know, all that. But just let him take a breather after that, taking that shot. And why try to rush him back? The last game, you know, we're approaching, you know, Friday. The last game before the All-Star break is Wednesday. So probably give him that break, then give him another full week off and then see what happens when they resume play on February 23rd against the Indiana Pacers. So I think that's 2 weeks. I think that sounds like a solid amount of time. The swelling to go down. You know, obviously he was able to walk off the floor. And, it didn't look like he was disfigured at all, but I'm sure it's a high amount of pain. I would not want that had to happen to me. And you saw the play, Warren. I mean, Tatum hit him flush in the cheek with the point of his elbow.
Yeah.
And then was kind of looking for a foul call after that. He, you know, Jaylen's agonized and Tatum's like, where's my call, man? so, you know, that's another story. But I think that they just got to get through this. You've got a couple of winnable games with, you know, Detroit and Charlotte, and then obviously two big ones with Memphis and Milwaukee. But I think they'll try to move on without him, let him get some rest, let him get his, you know, self together a little bit, and then bring him back after the All-Star break.
Yeah, hopefully that's exactly what they do. Shouldn't be too long, but yeah, you're like, you know, nobody cares until I put on the mask. Tweets are probably coming from Jalen at some point, unfortunately. Freak play, and just goes to show you how fickle the NBA is. Like, something just really kind of random like that can take you out. You know, I know Embiid had got hurt right at the end of the Raptors series last year, where, you know, with the kind of a orbital bone injury or whatever the case may be. So these things, again, they're human, and it's just kind of freak plays like that can happen. So Tatum obviously didn't mean any harm there. Just kind of an unfortunate situation, but hopefully Jalen can be back, you know, as you alluded to, relatively soon, right after the All-Star break. So again, if it's going to happen, this time leading into when you get that full week off with the All-Star break is really, really immense, especially for players to kind of just recharge. So, you know, hopefully Jalen Brown will be back in the lineup relatively soon. So we'll swing things now to the loan move, as you were kind of like, you know, teasing in the outset here. The Celtics acquire Mike Muscala from the OKC Thunder. OKC seemed to be a nice trading partner for the Boston Celtics as of late, you know, especially the last couple of years, trading Justin Jackson and a couple second round picks. Muscala comes in as a guy, you know, shoots 36 to 37% from the 3-point line, you know, big man five who can space the floor. I wouldn't say a rim protector of any sort, so to speak, but can definitely eat up some minutes, especially, you know, if Horford or Robert Williams are going to need to rest days or miss some time, maybe take some time away from Luke Kornet, especially where his value is coming in as a spacer on the floor, especially for driving kicks, especially for like a Marcus Smart or Malcolm Brogdon out there. Your thoughts, kind of the making of the deal here for Mike Muscala coming to the Boston Celtics, and what can Celtics fans kind of expect outside of what I've just kind of outlined from Muscala?
Yeah, Warren, I mean, I think it's kind of a, you know, a really poor man's Danilo Gallinari, 6'10", 240, a guy who career 38% from three, 39.4% this season. He's a guy who's only started 35 of his 475 games, so he's used to coming off the bench. He's not a guy who's logged a lot of games. You know, the most he's played this season is 70, and that was about eight years ago with the Atlanta Hawks. But he did play almost kind of a full slate this year, 43 games for the Thunder, 43 last year, 35 the year before. So he's not a guy who's had a lot of burn on him. So he's 31, but he's not – it doesn't seem to me he's one of these guys that's had an old 31 where he's played 82 games for 10, 12 years. This is a guy who probably still has some pretty good tread in the tire. And, you know, if you watch that LeBron game where he – obviously broke the scoring record. We can talk about that later. Muscala played in that game and played well. You know, he was able, if I look at the numbers, you know, he scored 16 points. It's on 6-for-10 shooting and 4-for-7 from the three. I mean, if you could do that with the Celtics on an occasional game, I think that's great for them. And also, Warren, I think you can kind of put Muscala and pair him with Rip Williams, pair him with Horford or Kornet in terms of making him a stretch four. Like, this is not a guy who, like you alluded to, is not a physical guy in the paint. You know, he's not a Jakob Poeltl or guy who's going to do a bunch of dirty work and get 12, 14 rebounds. This is a guy who's going to, you know, get a rebound here or two, defend bigs, but also bring the bigs away from the basket, stretch the floor. And if you leave him open, he'll burn you. And I think that that's exactly what they needed. That's exactly what they wanted out of Danilo Gallinari, because obviously we all know Danilo is not going to stop anybody defensively, you know, maybe provide a little resistance there. And Danilo wasn't going to contain Joel Embiid or you know, Nikola Jokic. He would just provide some resistance, but he was going there to score. And I think Muscala is a guy who can just stretch the floor and make it hard on defenses. And I think what you want, Warren, if you're a Celtic fan, you want a guy to come in there and just take some relief off the starters. You want a guy who can help you win a couple of ball games with a couple of shots or make it easy on you so you're not playing Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown 39, 38 minutes a game down the stretch. You want to start tempering their minutes, cutting them down a little bit as we approach the end of the season, the stretch run, you know, about, 25, 26 games left. You know, I think 27, if I'm not mistaken. as we speak. So, you know, you want to start cutting down some minutes. And I think Muscala is a legitimate NBA player. He's not a guy you're finding off the street or some guy who's just, you don't know what, you know, and as much as, you know, we liked the Noah Vonleys and even a guy like Justin Jackson, like you kind of saw who's now going to the Thunder, likely to be waived. Justin wasn't quite, you know, a guy that you could really rely on to get you quality minutes in an NBA game. And the Celtics don't need guys, unless you're talking about a J.D. Davidson, a guy's a prospect, a guy that hey, eventually he's going to be a guy who's going to get rotation minutes. You don't need those guys on your roster if you're trying to win a championship.
Gary, so I think that's a great, assessment of a Muscala and what he can bring to this team, especially in the short term and long term, especially, at, you know, potentially a poor man's Gallinari. I think that's a great, great assessment for, you know, what they're lacking this season. I was reading, I can't remember which article it was, but more or less the assessment that Stevens really didn't want to make too many changes to the overall team. So allows them they move Justin Jackson out and get Muscala in. So they still have a roster spot from that Vonleh trade earlier in the year. And that allows exactly what we've been talking about here for weeks now, Gary, right? You know, potentially somebody in the buyout market, and you just never know who becomes available. So we'll save the buyout conversation for maybe one a little bit more when that's a little bit more subtle. You know, some names have definitely already been thrown out there, but we'll get to that in a little bit. I just kind of want to, you know, for Celtics fans, Boston is one of those teams that a lot of times, especially from the Ainge eras, almost did something and almost. So can you shed any light on what you might have heard? Did they almost do anything else, you know, outside of the Muscala deal? We know, you know, Pritchard and Gallo and, you know, some of those contracts were potentially being discussed. But did anything else even come close to fruition, you know, on the trade deadline?
No, I don't think they came to anything serious, because if you look at the players that were targeting, like a Kelly Olynyk did not get moved. PJ Washington, Charlotte did not get moved. There's a lot of guys that, Pirtle, I think they made an offer for him, but I think San Antonio was asking a lot, and Toronto kind of was a good trade partner. They've done trades in the past, and Toronto gave him another serviceable big and Kim Birch, and then like a protected first rounder and all that type of thing. So it didn't sound like the Celtics were involved in a lot of just like, okay, we need this guy. You know, I think their targets are more, as we talked about, more in the buyout market. And for NBA fans, check out the next couple of days. The teams, the guys that get waived, you're probably your Russell Westbrooks, your Pat Bevs, your Danny Greens. Danny Green's an intriguing name there. Warren, I mean, you know, a guy who can stretch the floor, coming off obviously an ACL, you know, a little bit up there in age, not a guy that you're going to do. But a guy who seems to be a very good team guy. He's always been a good guy in all of his NBA stops. You know, do you fill that 15th spot with that? Well, the guy like that, you know, does he come and say, hey, I'm trying to win a chip? Because obviously he won a chip in San Antonio. And I think he was on the Lakers bubble team. But mm-hmm. do you make an offer to him? And we talked about Terrence Ross, if that happens. But you know, the buyout market should be interesting, but I don't think the Celtics were like, you know, very close to a big deal. I think that they obviously made their due diligence, made their calls, but you know, as we saw, there was some, you know, everybody thought Toronto was going to blow it up. That didn't happen. Everybody thought the Jazz were going to just, you know, the Jazz made that big deal with the Lakers, but after that, they were kind of chill, you know, on what they did. They didn't give away their whole roster. And then Charlotte moved, obviously, Mason Plumlee and Jalen McDaniels, which I thought was interesting. I would have held on to him, to be honest with you, Warren, unless you don't think you're going to pay him. But I guess they chose to keep PJ Washington. Now we'll see what happens with his free agency.
Yeah, you know, Gary. All right. I'm not going to go down the buyout road because, again, there are some names there that we can talk about. So we'll save that for another episode. But let's kind of turn the attention to even what you just did too, you know, what the moves that did happen and how they may impact Boston specifically. So let's start with where you just left off. Philadelphia somehow gets, you know, McDaniels on the cheap. A couple of second rounders. You know, second rounders were the order of the day. I don't know what was going on with that. I don't know how that set the market, so to speak. Why second rounders?
The second rounders have become the new, what are they, 40s? 40s a new 30. Yeah, second rounders is the new first rounders.
I don't know. It was a really strange day to kind of see that, and the amounts in which they were kind of just copious amounts of that they were being dealt out in. But Philadelphia basically, to me, gets excellent PJ Tucker insurance, you know, and in a lot of ways, as a guy who can, you know, play some multiple positions, has now shown the propensity to even stretch the floor out a little bit to the 3-point line. Really good young pro. And for that price, I thought that was really, really cheap. I think a lot of teams are probably kicking themselves like, damn, have I known it was only cost us two second rounders or whatever it was, man, definitely would have kicked the tires there. Yeah. How much better do you think the 76ers are now as a result of this? Again, it's only the one move. And, you know, they still, their most of their work was done in the preseason. They move off of Matisse Thybulle. He gets oversent to Portland. But McDaniel's come in, and I think is a significant move. Well, not significant, but a nice move for the 76ers. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Very nice move. I like Jalen McDaniels. I've watched him a lot over the last couple of years kind of develop. And that's why I thought that P.J. Washington might be expendable, because I believe that Charlotte was going to hold on to McDaniels, who is a free agent this summer, and try to pay him instead of P.J. Washington. Obviously, you know, we don't know what's going on in Charlotte. They're an organization, even though they're
Cheap.
Yeah, they go on the cheap, and they don't like paying coaches, and they got to save all their quarters for that LaMelo extension. So I did not think that he was really going to be out there and available. And I do think that they got better. I mean, watching Philadelphia last night, Wednesday night, Warren, it was interesting to see just – kind of how they really haven't changed, in a sense. Like, it's still the Embiid train, and then Harden, you know, 26 points, Embiid at 28, Tobias Harris had 4, you know, in 32 minutes. Like, they didn't have anyone else. Tyrese Maxey just wasn't good from the field. I mean, he can get you some points, but McDaniels, I think, and I just think in terms of a guy like Matisse Thybulle, who could have been a Celtic. You know, I thought the Celtics might have taken a chance on him in the draft over that, you know, trading with Philadelphia and for the rights to Carson Edwards, and that didn't really work out, unfortunately, for the Celtics, for your Celtic fans. But to me, Thybulle was just kind of out of place. I mean, he just didn't fit. He didn't shoot well enough. He was a good defender, but he couldn't shoot. Now McDaniels comes in and kind of is an upgrade. He's 6'10", 6'11". Both those McDaniel brothers, the one in Minnesota, too, guys from the Seattle area. We talk about the Seattle being a fruitful place for hoops, and two more guys from the Seattle area. Both are good players, and I thought Jalen was growing. Now, obviously, he's going to want a nice little bump in salary, so maybe the price was cheaper because he's a rental player, because I don't think he's going to, you know, I think that somebody's going to have to throw some, you know, $15 million, $12 million, something like that at him to get his first real major deal. But I think it's a great move, Warren. And I think the East, and we can talk about the East, and, you know, Brooklyn obviously made a lot of changes kept all of us up at night. I got home from the game and was just ready to kind of sit down and chill and watch a couple of highlights, and was like, wait a minute, what just happened here? But I think teams like Cleveland stood pat. The Knicks got Josh Hart. But I think, personally, the Bucks with Jay Crowder, bringing him in, did they get – I think they might have gotten a little bit better. We'll see what that goes. But it sounds like the East is now a two-team race. I think some teams kind of fell back. Indiana decided to kind of, you know, turn their chips in and maybe – you know, try to make a push for the play-in. Indiana trades Mo Bamba. I don't know what you felt about Mo Bamba. Is that somebody that you could have seen play for the Celtics, and what the price would have been? A young big who just really never developed in Orlando. But I think that it's a two-team race in the East. I think that some of the East teams helped themselves, and some of them, Miami, Cleveland, we'll see what happens in the buyout market. But kind of stood pat, and that's interesting.
So, you know, you've taken us in a couple of different directions there, man. I'm going to try to even organize my own thoughts, because, again, it was all extremely, extremely well said and great content. Let's go to the Milwaukee of it all, right? So one of the things you said there, too, where Milwaukee and Boston clearly now seem to be the two best teams, with Brooklyn gracefully bowing out, or maybe not so gracefully bowing out.
Yeah.
The addition of Jay Crowder, I think, is interesting, only from the set of, like, again, we haven't seen him, so we don't really know what we're getting. And I hate to keep bringing up PJ Tucker, but that's their PJ Tucker move from a few years ago, right? He fits their culture, fits their style, you know. And again, if he's able to knock down a couple threes here and there, you know, God bless. Milwaukee didn't need to do a whole lot because they really are coming along now with Giannis seeming to be more healthy, Drew Holiday getting into his own, even Middleton now getting back into the fold a little bit, although he's still coming off the bench. Two horse race to some degree, but neither one of those teams, Boston or Milwaukee, seem to command respect from the East because, as you alluded to, a lot of teams didn't fold in. The Raptors were like, no, we're going to saddle up. Let's bring in Jakob Poeltl, bring him back, if you will, and see if we can get into this thing. The Pacers kind of do this. The Bulls didn't sell off. They stayed in it as well, too. All these teams feel like, you know what? Kyrie and KD left the East. Well, damn, it might really be wide open. Why not us? And they're going to give it a shot. Not that the Celtics are going to take any extra motivation from that, and you neither will the Bucks, but that's my sense of it, really, Gary, is that, you know, there's not a whole lot of respect, I think, in terms of, like, well, not fear. I shouldn't say respect. There's a whole lot, of fear, I think, in what Boston or what Milwaukee has been able to do from the rest of the Eastern Conference. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I do agree. I think every team's just kind of trying to figure it out. And I think that, like, the team like the New York Knicks, got Josh Hart.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to figure out and go forward because the Knicks are kind of all over the place. They lose a game they shouldn't lose, and they win a game they shouldn't win, or whatever. The Knicks are a team that could make some noise. Cleveland didn't do much at all. We'll see. And everybody thinks they need more shooting. Yeah. Will that person be in the buyout market? Like, we'll see. I think they'll be looking. Another team, and people thought that Miami might – like sacrifice Kyle Lowry, who's kind of out of the rotation in the sense of did not play in the fourth quarter a couple of games. And they're a team that seems very, you know, like they've been waiting for good health. It really hasn't happened. But also they're not as Miami-like as we've gone to know. Yeah. Like Adebayo's still a beast, Jimmy Butler, but in Hero – but you're looking at, you know, guys like Oladipo, inconsistent, Lowry, you know, like you look at some of them, like, are they a real championship contending team? So I think the East is wide open in terms of Milwaukee and Boston should meet in the conference finals. But could one of these teams, Warren, put together a very good four games and knock off one of those two? I think it could definitely happen. But you're right. I think some of them teams said, we're good. We'll figure this out. We're good at being the fourth seed. We think we can win a game or two in Boston, or we think we can take the Bucks down, you know. And so, like, I guess the challenge is on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I go back to Toronto and some of the struggles Boston has had with length this year, and even now them getting bigger with Jakob at the center position and allowing Siakam to play a more natural, you know, four man instead of some small ball five in some lineups. They keep Chris Boucher. They basically keep everybody. So, you know, that's not a matchup I would be excited to play, see them in the playoffs with all their length. And then obviously the machinations of Nick Nurse. Atlanta gets Sadiq Bey in a weird trade from Golden State and a salary dump of James Wiseman. Yeah. That was just some weirdness, but I understand the Warriors needed to save dollars, but then they trade five first round picks to get Gary Payton II. Cool. I mean, whatever you need to do, that's on the Western Conference. So We'll keep it kind of focused on the East. But you brought up another interesting point because, and this will lead me into a little bit of what's happening in Phoenix as well. Phoenix, Golden State, now Miami, even Cleveland. So those teams who obviously Phoenix made a massive move, but they also gutted a good portion of the roster. So that buyout market now, there's more teams competing. I mean, it's always highly contentious. But at the top, if Boston specifically is looking to maybe make one more move, are they attractive enough, if you will, like the championship lore or the championship prospects should be, but do the personalities match what maybe some of these buyout guys may ultimately want? In terms of a role, when you compare them to maybe the lore of Miami, you compare them to a Golden State, and now even Phoenix with KD over there as well, too. Do you think that might be more of a problem for Boston than it would have been had things not played the way it out that it did to this trade deadline?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Warren. I do think that they're going to have to compete. Like, there's going to be some teams that are, you know, could waive one of those minimum guys and create another spot. It all depends on how this buyout market shakes out. I remember there's been a couple of guys. I remember Dennis Schroeder. Remember we went to Houston. It was, oh, he'll never play a game with the Rockets. And last year he ended up finishing the season with the Rockets. So, like, you got to see which team honestly keeps what player or when, or if it's like, hey, don't even show up to the offices. You know, we'll send you a check and we'll try to, you know, we'll give you a good recommendation. You know, we'll give you, we'll let you, you know, we'll let you find a new team. You're right. Phoenix, you know, maybe the Clippers will be out there in the buyout market. As you said, Miami, I think that the Celtics have a culture that they're trying to establish. They've established a couple of years. They don't want, you know, you don't want a guy, and I said this earlier, and, you know, with people like, you don't want a guy who's going to be moaning about playing time. You don't want a guy who, you want a Blake Griffin kind of guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, Blake, we need you for Philly. You haven't played in a week or so. Get up, get it done. He did. They won. Now, okay, Blake, we'll see you after the All-Star break. Or, you know, like, we'll see what happens, you know, in the next couple of days or, you know, how the injuries things go. But you want a guy who comes in there with the right attitude, the right frame of mind, and wants to put a ring on his finger, okay? Not every guy is like that. There's going to be, you know, you don't bring Russell Westbrook in to be a guy who's going to give you 12 minutes off the bench and maybe get a couple of DNPs. That ain't the guy. Or Patrick Beverley or something like that. You got to find that right guy. So I do think that, let's say, Phoenix and Miami and some of these teams will offer more playing time and maybe a more prominent role, especially in L.A. The Clippers are on a point guard at this point. You know, they gave away both their point guards. But a guy like Reggie Jackson, let's say, in Charlotte or you know, I mean, you know, you want to bring in a guy. I'm not saying to bring in Reggie Jackson, but, like, you want to bring in a guy who is going to be a team guy. You don't want to bring in a guy who is looking to get his to increase his boost his value for free agency so he can get one last big deal. So I think you're right, Warren. You got to be careful. And I think they're going to have competition for some of these guys. But I also think, you know, Brad's talking to agents. Some of these guys are agents are calling Brad and saying, listen, my man's interested in Boston. What will his role be? I'm sure Brad says, hey, agent, we're going to need this. And we're going to need a guy who's going to fall in with the team concept. We don't need a guy going to the media about playing time. I mean, you know, we talked before, you know, there's been guys over the years like, you know, David Lee, you know, who came in and was like, I want to play. And Keith Bogans, I remember, was like that. You know, veteran guys who come in and, you know, kind of pout. You don't need that. You know, you want competitive guys, but you also want a guy who is willing to fall in. And so that, I think that's a careful situation here. But I also think Brad, and these agents know the situation in Boston. They'll lay out their plans. You know, these guys will say, hey, in Phoenix, this is what you'll be. In L.A., this is what you'll be. In Boston, best chance to probably win a championship, this is what they want from you. What do you want?
You know, Gary, I think, as always, it makes a lot of sense. And I think the Celtics are going to be in competition for some players. But that point you made in terms of the right guy, the right fit, that should always be the goal. But I think even more importantly now, again, you don't need to do something that messes up your locker room chemistry in any capacity. Things are going uber well. You're still top of the NBA, not even just the conference, the NBA. I want to kind of close with this here too. So, Boston made a small move with Muscala. We talked about how we both really like the McDaniels move for Philadelphia. And I'm in the middle on the Jay Crowder thing on Milwaukee. Which one of those three moves you think is the most impactful for basically the top three teams in the East right now?
Well, that's a good one. I say McDaniels and Philly because they'll probably play a pretty good amount. I think the one thing, you know, I mean, you know, Warren, you've been doing this for years. You got to be a diehard NBA fan and know who Mike Muscala is. I'm sure a lot of Celtic fans are doing Google searches and saying, you know, Mike Marsala, like Chicken Marsala. Like, they're trying to figure out who the hell this guy is, except if you're in Pennsylvania because he's a Bucknell guy and you might have seen him play, and maybe some Boston folks saw him play in the Patriot League against BU or whatever they were, you know, whatever conference they were in, because I think they played against Boston University when he was in college. But other than that, you're trying to figure out who the hell this guy is. I think the McDaniels move. Crowder is a guy we all know. We're all familiar with in Boston. So I think that the McDaniels move, because we don't know what Crowder's going to bring. He hasn't played in a long time. You know, as we know, and I don't want to use the Ben Simmons example as a bad example, but guys who take long layoffs, I'm going to say, okay, right? You know, now I'm sure Jay has been working out. He's, you know, he's a dog. He's going to be working out. I'm sure he's going to get in shape, but he's going to take a while to get in basketball shape because there's working out shape with your trainer and running up to running 5-on-5 at the Y and playing highly competitive pickup ball. Then there's NBA shape, right? Because you know, that's a whole different category. So, you know, what will Crowder bring? As the last time we saw Crowder, he had tailed off his considerably in terms of his shooting. So does he have something left? Is the guy who's pushing 33 now? Like, we don't know. I had a guy tell me around the league, like, listen, man, like, you know, everybody wants to pick up, you know, Celtics or whoever, pick up LaMarcus Aldridge, LaMarcus Cousins, these guys who are, you know, out of the league. Or I'm watching Tristan Thompson on ESPN. You know, call him up. I mean, he wasn't terrible. He just, you know, he had the off the floor things going on, but maybe he wants to play. But guy told me, like, listen, once, like, LeBron and Kobe are exceptions. Once some of these guys hit their mid-30s, they fall off a cliff. Physically, they're not, you know, they don't have the smarts, quote-unquote, not that they're dumb, but that savvy to be able to play till 35, 36. So we don't know about Jay Crowder. You know, Jay Crowder, he's pushing 33 now. So what does he have left? McDaniel's a guy who's still very young, and Muscala, we'll see about what he brings. But I think the McDaniel's move is good. Like you said, the court is out on Jay Crowder at this point. As much as I like Jay, I thought he was a great Celtic. Yeah. He's great to cover. I did not want to see him get traded to Cleveland. I thought, I don't say it was a mistake. I think, you know, getting Kyrie, I think, you know, what would the Celtics done if they didn't, you know, kept Isaiah? We don't know. But I think that I just have no idea what kind of guy we're getting.
Well, I think that's a great place to wrap so we can leave some more meat on the bone when it comes to the buyout conversation here on our next episode. A wild, wild deadline. Kevin Durant and Kyrie leave the Eastern Conference, leaving it wide open for Boston, Milwaukee, and maybe the 76ers here to kind of take the reins. But the rest of the East did not back down. Everybody else making some minor moves, you know, to try to kind of keep up with the proverbial Joneses here. So make sure you continue to rock with us here on Believe in the Celtics, brought to you by Bet Online. We're going to go and wrap it here for today's episode. Again, he is Gary Washburn. Follow him on Twitter at GWashburnGlobe. You can follow me on Twitter at ShawSportsNBA. And that'll do it. We'll catch you next week here. Believe in the Celtics, brought to you by Bet Online. Peace.